Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. We're looking this morning at the second half of that chapter. Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 21. I'm reading from the Christian Standard Bible. This is God's Word. When Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the sea. One of the synagogue leaders, named Jairus, came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, "My little girl is dying. Come and lay your hands on her so that she can get well and live." So Jesus went with him, and a large crowd was following and pressing against him. Now a woman suffering from bleeding for 12 years had endured much under many doctors. She had spent everything she had and was not helped at all. On the contrary, she became worse. Having heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his clothing. For she said, "If I just touch his clothes, I'll be made well." Instantly, her flow of blood ceased, and she sensed in her body that she was healed of her affliction. At once, Jesus realized in himself that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" His disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing against you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" But he was looking around to see who had done this. The woman, with fear and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. "Daughter," he said to her, "your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be healed from your affliction." While he was still speaking, people came from the synagogue leader's house and said, "Your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore?" When Jesus overheard what was said, he told the synagogue leader, "Don't be afraid. Only believe." He did not let anyone accompany him except Peter, James, and John, James' brother. They came to the leader's house, and he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him, but he put them all outside. He took the child's father, mother, and those who were with him, and entered the place where the child was. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which is translated, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl got up and began to walk. She was 12 years old. At this, they were utterly astounded. Then he gave them strict orders that no one should know about this, and told them to give her something to eat. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Jesus had gone across the Sea of Galilee to an area that, as we said before, was not a good place. There he had brought deliverance to a man whose life was bent on destruction under the control of evil spirits. Now they've gone back to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, back to the nice area, And there again, he encounters tremendous human need. A synagogue leader, a fellow who was well respected, a man who, in order to hold that position, would have been successful in other areas of life. That man runs to Jesus and falls on his knees before him, begging for help. This was not a typical posture of a synagogue leader. You don't behave that way, and especially not in public. But this man fell at Jesus' feet and begged him earnestly, "My little daughter is dying. Come lay your hands on her so that she can get well and live." Let's just say that when somebody who you really love is in dire straits, you'll do things you wouldn't otherwise. And this man humbled himself and pleaded with Jesus to come. And Jesus agreed to go. And they start walking. Now, for the disciples, this is a great moment. Because, you see, we're building a movement here. Jesus, we believe, is the Messiah. And so, if we can get the right kind of people on board, it's going to change everything. If word gets out that Jesus now has the synagogue leader as one of his followers, this is very good for the ministry. I mean, there could be financial rewards. There certainly will be excellent PR. This man is a leader in the community. He's a religious leader. And so, by golly, let's do this. So everybody's moving along and the crowd is coming and they want to see. They know about the miracles. Jesus is already becoming famous for working miracles and bringing healing. That's why the synagogue leader came begging Jesus to do this. He says, "You'll put your hands on her so that she may be healed and live." He knows that Jesus has that capacity. So Jesus is on his way, and as he's walking along, the Bible says that the crowd is jostling him. They're pressing up against him. They're bumping into him. If you've ever been in a big crowd moving through a lobby or something, let's just say this, it is torture for germaphobes, okay? Because people are definitely touching you. They don't even mean to, but they're up into you. And you remember Jesus more than once had to be in a boat off in the water in order to speak to the crowd, in order to keep them from pressing up against him. So Jesus is walking along with this crowd bumping up against him, and all of a sudden he does something that his disciples find quite unreasonable. He stops the whole parade. And he turns around and he asks a question that makes no sense to them. He says, "Who touched my clothes?" Are you kidding? They ask him, they say, "Lord, you see the people pushing against you. How can you ask this question? You're asking, who touched my clothes? Tons of people touched your clothes. What are you talking about?" But there was one person in the crowd who knew exactly what he was talking about. And let me tell you this morning, everybody's here, but there are some people who are going to hear what not everybody else will hear. Because God has a way of speaking to individual hearts, and I cannot count the number of times that people have said to me, "Man, how did you know that? You were speaking directly to me." Well, let me tell you, I don't know what's going on in everybody's life. Every now and then God gives me some insight, but I'll tell you this, God knows exactly what is going on in your life. He knows everything about you, and he cares about you more than you can imagine. He loves you more than you know. There was one woman in the crowd who knew exactly what Jesus meant. And she was terrified. She had not come to Jesus like this synagogue leader, saying, please have mercy, please do this, please bring healing. She was too ashamed. Her problem was one that meant she should not be in the crowd. Because of her chronic menstrual bleeding, she was ceremonially unclean. She was not supposed to get around other people and bump up against them, because that would make them ceremonially unclean. And so for her to be there in the crowd was kind of breaking the rules. But she'd gone because she was desperate. And there was a messianic prophecy in the Old Testament that when Messiah came, he would have healing in his wings. And the word there that's used for wings is the same word that was used to describe the bottom of the prayer shawl, the bottom of the garment. And so she believed that if she could touch just the hem of his robe, just the bottom of his garment, if I can just touch that, I'll receive my healing. For 12 years, she had struggled to get help. And she had gotten worse instead of better. 12 years of chronic bleeding. Physically, that takes a toll. Emotionally, that took a toll. Financially, that took a toll. And now, this desperate, isolated soul works her way through the crowd and gets up to where she's able to reach out and touch the edge of Jesus' garment. And when she touches that, instantly she feels physically something has happened. I believe it. I believe I've been healed. But Jesus feels something too. He feels power go out from him. And so he stops and he asks, who touched me? Now, again, as I said before, his disciples just think this is a foolish question. Verse 31, his disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing against you, and yet you say, who touched me? I'm trying to make this point from time to time because it comes up in the text over and over again as we study the scriptures. Jesus will often say and do things that seem unreasonable to us. When you look at God's plans, when you look at what he says and you look at what he does, a lot of times it does not jive with the way we think. Get used to it. Okay? That doesn't mean that every crazy idea that pops into your head is from God. It does mean that when God is directing you to do something, you need to be obedient and not say, oh, that can't be God, because that would put me in a difficult situation. That would put me in an embarrassing spot. That would put me in a position of total dependence on him. I mean, what am I supposed to do? Put myself in a situation where I have to pray for daily bread? That's the way we're all supposed to be living anyway. Well, it's no thanks. I have lots of flour and other ingredients. I'm able to make my own bread. If you don't cultivate an attitude of dependence on God, you will not only be living a lie, but you will miss out on one of the greatest joys in a Christian's life. To live each day knowing I can do nothing without you, I can do all things through you, that brings joy and peace. Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years.
I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, and he's holding out his Jesus hand. Continued, verse 32, he continued to look around to see who had done this. And so the woman, with fear and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. Would that be embarrassing? Absolutely. This is not something she wanted to talk about with anybody. But Jesus put her in an embarrassing situation and required her to do something very uncomfortable, not in order to punish her, but in order to bless her and in order to bless us. Jesus says something to her that he doesn't say to anyone else in Scripture. He speaks to her and he calls her daughter. It's the only person he says that to. He calls her daughter. And he says to her, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be healed from your affliction. What she was looking for was just a physical healing. What Jesus gave her was an eternal relationship. I don't care what your physical problem is. If it gets healed, you're going to die of something else. Healing is wonderful. Physical healing is great. But it's temporary. At some point, you and I have to get out of this earthly tent in order to enter into something better that God has for us in eternity. Jesus wanted to give this woman more than she was looking for. Jesus didn't just heal her physically. He healed her emotionally and spiritually. And I don't know what you're hoping to get. I don't know what your longing is. But let me tell you this. The sooner you set aside your agenda and say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, the sooner you'll be on track. God knows what's best for you, and he loves you more and better than you love you. So, Jesus brought healing to this woman on every level. But while he was still speaking, verse 35, people came from the synagogue leader's house and said, your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore? Obviously, that is a crushing message for this synagogue leader. Obviously, it is also a huge disappointment to everybody in the crowd, because they were on their way with Jesus to see a healing. One just took place, but it was one they could only hear about, not see. But now, the miracle has been aborted. It's not going to happen. It's too late. Jesus turns to the synagogue ruler and he says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Only believe. How many times does God's word tell us, don't be afraid? Fear not. Be of good courage. Don't be afraid. Over and over and over, hundreds of times. Some folks have suggested 365 times, one for every day of the year. God says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, Jesus told him. Only believe. And then he stops the parade. He didn't let anyone accompany him except Peter, James, and John, James' brother. And they came to the leader's house, and there was a commotion. The mourners had already turned up. And they're weeping and wailing. There were people who did that for a living, literally. That's how they could switch over to laughing at Jesus. Because Jesus, who wasn't there to see what happened, shows up and tells them, what's all the commotion? The little girl's not dead, she's just sleeping. And they laugh at him. Clearly, Jesus doesn't know what's going on. Do you notice that this happens a lot with Jesus? Lord, don't you care that we're going to die? That was the question in the boat. We've been here mourning for this girl because she died. And after she died, word was sent to the synagogue leader that she was dead. So this isn't something where we're still trying to decide. She's dead, okay? This situation is hopeless. There's not anything you can do now, Jesus. And Jesus turns out to be the only one who knows what's going on. Let me tell you something. God knows your situation better than you do. He knows everything about you. Everything. He knows what you're going to say. He knows what you're going to do. He knows where you're going to go. He knows what's going to happen to you. God knows the future, not just the present, not just the past. He knows everything. And so Jesus sends the people away. And he takes the child's father, mother, and the three disciples who were with him and entered the place where the child was. Jesus takes her by the hand and says, little girl, I say to you, get up. And she gets up. And she starts walking. Amazing. Miraculous. It is the power of God. But there's something else in this passage that we really need to see. One of my brothers pointed this out to me years ago, and once you see it, you can't unsee it. How old was this little girl? She was 12 years old, verse 42. How long had the woman been sick? 12 years. Please hear this. One was young, 12 years old. The other was old. The synagogue leader would have been rich. The woman with the issue of blood had become poor. She had spent everything she had on doctors. One had not been sick for 12 years. She had taken ill and died. The other had had 12 years of suffering. This one was surrounded by people who cared. This one was isolated because of her condition. And yet Jesus had time and compassion for both. Whether you are young or old, rich or poor, whether you are popular or isolated, Jesus cares about you. Doesn't matter about your circumstances. It matters whether or not you know the Savior. And I want to plead with you. If you've never come to him and begged him for mercy, do it today. Ask him to save you. Ask Him to heal you and know that He has the power even to raise the dead.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.